Hello, Chelsea fans. Welcome back to another edition of the Lad for Matthew Harden podcast. I'm your host, Shane Holcomb. After a 4-0 demolition of Juventus in the Champions League, Chelsea will host Manchester United Sunday, a team the Blues haven't beaten in the league their past 7 attempts. And while unfortunately one Ben Chilwell will see much time out over the next few months, Thomas Tuchel's side are flying high at the moment and can smell blood in Michael Carrick's United. I'm excited to be joined by today Football.London's lead Chelsea correspondent, Adam Newson. Adam, great to see you. Great to be talking to you once again today. How's everything going, mate?
Yeah, it's good. Thank you for having me back on.
Well, thanks once again, Adam, for joining the podcast. Really appreciate it. First of all, since I wasn't able to put anything out after the event of this match, I know you were at the Bridge on Tuesday night. How was the atmosphere in there? Has it ever been that electric before?
Yeah, it has been that electric. But I think when Callum Hudson-Odoi scored the third goal, there was definitely a big release of emotion. Relief, excitement, just happiness. I think the fact that three academy graduates were all the first three goal scorers really did lift a lot of people in the stadium, because it does mean a lot to especially match going fans, and I know wider Chelsea fans too. So yeah, it was a really good game to be at. Chelsea were excellent, dominated the game from start to finish, and yeah, very much deserved the 4-0 scoreline, which is Juventus' biggest ever defeat in the Champions League. So nice little bit of history there too.
Yeah, it's crazy. And now, you know, we hold top spot in Group H in our own hands, which is always nice, you know, going into the last match day. It's going to be a tough away day against Zenit, but I feel pretty confident that we're going to be able to top the group. And that's, you know, could lead to a better percentage of having an easier matchup in the first round of the Champions League knockout round. But I think we can all say, as Chelsea fans are now, that we're confident against any team in Europe. So I'm really looking forward, though, to potentially topping the group. And of course, momentum-wise, I think that Juventus game was so key for us. You know, it was the perfect night, of course, before Ben Chilwell's unfortunate injury. That's what I want to get into right now, because of course it's a huge talking point. You know, there's a little bit uncertainty still over the situation, and it's just so unfortunate, Adam, because he was one of our most vital players in the last couple of months. He was probably arguably Chelsea's one of the best players, most influential players, you know, you name it. Really hitting his stride, scoring goals, really looking up with the likes of Callum Hudson-Odoi, building a really great partnership on that left-hand side. So, of course, it's a lot of gloom after a lot of happiness that night, but it's something we can't just cover up, you know, and I think Tuchel talked a little bit about this in the press conference. I know you were in the call. So what's Tuchel's, you know, attitude towards the situation right now, and what do you think he's planning on bringing up some players, maybe recalling some players from loan, or do you think he might tend to look in the January transfer market, because there's still so much uncertainty about Ben Chilwell?
Yeah, I think he's going to be patient with it, basically. The hope is that the injury will heal naturally, that he won't have to undergo surgery, but no decision on that is going to be taken for 6 weeks, which pretty much does take us to January. So Chelsea won't be making hard and fast decisions yet about what course to take. Obviously, if the worst comes to the worst and Chilwell does have to undergo surgery, then there's a very good chance he misses the majority, if not all, of the rest of the season. And then Chelsea will have to come up with a workaround, because Marcus Alonso will step into the team, I'm sure, but he's not going to be able to play 30, 40 games, however many games Chelsea still have to play this season. So there will have to be an alternative, whether that's from within a squad. You could play Hudson-Odoi there, you could play Christian Pulisic there, you could play Saul Niguez there if you really wanted to. So there are options, but I don't think Chelsea are going to be making any hard decisions yet. I'm sure they'll be planning, there will be discussions held as to what they can do if Chilwell needs to have surgery, but the hope at the moment very much is fingers crossed. Let's hope for the best, and let's hope that in 6 weeks it's healed up well and Chilwell can be back in the squad and then the side.
Especially since, you know, Chelsea have been flying high recently. It's just such a low moment. You know, we thought that against Juventus, and it was still a great night, but it could have been the perfect night. And especially, I don't know, I can't attest to this, but I'm sure the mood in the stadium, you know, definitely went a little bit somber when Ben Chilwell had to be helped off. I'm just saying, it just didn't look right. His facial expressions, I'm pretty sure Toby was shaking his head down the tunnel. Like I said, there's still so much uncertainty about the situation, but right now, you know, something I couldn't cover up. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that before we get into the great things, especially through this Premier League season so far. You know, Chelsea still sit up at first place, 3 points in front of Liverpool. And right now, Cobham's emergence has been the talking point throughout the storyline. The likes of Ruben Loftus-Cheek, Hudson-Odoi, Trevoh Chalobah, you know, filling in key roles for this Chelsea side, especially I think the moment of Tuesday was Chalobah, you know, scoring on his Champions League debut. And it's just been amazing to see these guys fill in to roles and really take their role in the starting 11 and hold down their place. You know, I think Trevoh Chalobah, we'll get into this a bit later, but I think every time he's been called on so far this season, he's been reliable. You know, every single time, you know, 90 minutes against Leicester, 90 minutes against Juve, 90 minutes against Southampton, you know, 7, 8 out of 10, every single performance for him, which has been great. So what's the environment right now around Cobham in general? You know, I know you're in the press a lot. I talked to a bunch of Chelsea fans in London. So over there, what's the excitement levels about this group? Because the crazy thing, Adam, is, you know, these guys are all super young, but right now they're playing world-class level and they can only get better from here. That's a scary part for other teams. But what's the environment around the club right now? And what's the atmosphere amongst fans going into the second quarter of the Premier League season?
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously after the summer we had where you saw the likes of Tomori leave permanently, Tammy leave permanently, Tino Livramento leave, Lewis Bate, there was a lot of departures. Tino Andrin left on loan to Lokomotiv Moscow. There were a lot of departures from the academy and there were a lot of people questioning where its role would be within this Chelsea structure now because, yes, under Frank Lampard, the door was open, but essentially people were concerned that the door was going to be shut again. And Trevoh Chalobah's emergence has been such a huge story, not just for the first team, but it does still highlight that there is a route to the Chelsea side for academy graduates. You can go down the loan route, and if you look, let's not pretend there was an element of luck to it as well, because if there wasn't the European Championships and Copa America this summer, then Tuchel has a full squad and there's probably no chance for Trev. But hey, opportunity arose. He's taken it. He's been absolutely fantastic when called upon. And it's such a important factor for a lot of supporters because you have these guys who've been at the club since they were 6, 7, 8 years old. They care about the club in a very unique way because it's all they've ever known. It's the only dream they've had since they were kids to play for Chelsea. They've worked since before they were 10 years old. Their ambition, their aim, their work has been to get into this Chelsea team and now they're there. And that is important and it does create a special connection. And yeah, the fact that you've got people like Reece, who's 21, almost 22, Mason, Callum, Ruben's a little bit older. You've got Andreas Christensen as well, who was in the academy. You've just got all these guys coming through and it does create a unique feel within the squad. And Tuchel's highlighted that. He highlighted it again today. And you mix that with the high quality talent from other clubs, your N'Golo Kantes, Jorginho's, Romelu Lukaku, it gives Chelsea something quite special and something for other teams to be quite fearful of, because if you look around the sort of Chelsea ecosystem at the moment, there's a lot more of these young players to come. Conor Gallagher, Billy Gilmour, Armando Broja, Tino Livramento has a buyback, Andrin could come back at some point. I mean, the conveyor belt doesn't really show any sign of slowing down. And if you have these academy lads being integrated into the first team, it also gives you an ability to go and spend a lot of money in the transfer market if you want, because you don't have to strengthen three positions. You can just put all your eggs in one basket and strengthen one that you really want to.
Yeah, I think the last point you made there too, you know, is making Roman Abramovich and Marina Grabinski's job a lot easier and not having to spend so much time thinking about, you know, their transfer targets, because they already have star young players coming up through the ranks. So I think it's just been great to see Cobham's emergence, especially because, like you mentioned, at the end of the summer towards the preseason stages that I remember, you know, there was a lot of anger among Chelsea fans surrounding the academy and surrounding the roles in the squad and what would their future be like. But now I think every time they've been in, likes of Chalobah especially, you know, justifying the role and coming in and making them a mainstay in the 11. It's just been great to see. And I think it has really took us Chelsea fans over. And it's been almost a perfect start to the Premier League season so far. I know that we've had that one loss to Manchester City that really hurt, but we haven't lost in September since that Turin Champions League defeat. So we're riding high, of course, in the Premier League. But we're facing Manchester United this weekend. And their stage of the club right now is very chaotic. Of course, we know the talent that they have in their squad. They have, of course, recently, it's not confirmed yet, but they've got their hands on Ragnik now. Carrick will be in the dugout, it sounds like, from all things on Sunday afternoon. But there's been this weird voodoo recently, Adam, where Chelsea just cannot seem to beat Manchester United. I mentioned at the beginning, they haven't won against United in 7 past Premier League games. But this team is different. I think there's a lot of places where we can exploit this United team. So real quick, before we get into those areas, just talk about in general, how shocked have you been with the United start to the season? Of course, sacking a club legend and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Fans probably think that maybe was a little bit too late, but it's done now. Seems like there seems to be going a little bit of a better direction, but your reaction to the first part of United season, because it has been so shocking, and what kind of areas can Chelsea exploit on Sunday afternoon at the Bridge?
Yeah, it's been a poor start, obviously. I'm not going to try and sound smart after the fact here. I did think the Ronaldo signing was going to throw them off a little bit, because Solskjaer had spent the best part of sort of 2 years cultivating this group and building a project. And when you sign Cristiano Ronaldo, you fundamentally change that project. It's no longer a bit of a slow build. Let's harness potential here. It's, we have to win now, because this guy is 36 years old. He's Cristiano Ronaldo. He wants to win. So you don't have the same sort of ability to sort of sit back. He had to produce, and he wasn't able to. The game changed and he wasn't able to play it. So yeah, it surprised me how quickly it went wrong, I suppose, and the situation they find themselves in now. The Rangnick appointment is interesting. I think he's going to have to try and tailor how he wants to play football to this Manchester United side, because Rangnick's football is a lot about high pressing, about exploiting your opponent's weaknesses and by pressing and working hard. And you've got players in there. Cristiano Ronaldo is not going to charge around for 90 minutes. He's just not going to do it. Can Harry Maguire play on a high line? I think it would be quite a stretch. David De Gea is not a sweeper keeper. Doesn't come off his off sort of outside of his box very often, if not at all. So there are questions about the Rangnick appointment, but I think it's a smart one longer term. But yeah, it's hard to call this game, because I think take it back to Monday or take it back a week, and a lot of Chelsea fans would have been very confident going into this, given Solskjaer's record, given Kante and Chilwell were fit, and that Chelsea were playing really well. But I do think those two injuries in particular to Kante and Chilwell, the sort of changing environment at Manchester United has maybe altered my confidence levels a little bit more, just because it does feel now like there are circumstances that do suit Man United a bit more.
I think too, a draw on Sunday would feel like a loss to Chelsea fans, especially in the Premier League title race. You look at, actually, let me pull up the fixtures right now, but I don't believe that, especially the likes of Liverpool, have Southampton this weekend. I will say West Ham do face Man City, so maybe they can nick a point or two off of the Citizens. But, I think Chelsea need to come into this full throttle in the same way that they did against Juventus and attacking from the start, because Carrick will probably come to the Bridge and play for at least a draw. He would be delighted, I'm pretty sure, the draw. It is crazy to think about the fact that we're 12 games in, United already 12 points behind Chelsea. So it just shows you the gap of quality that these two teams have shown this season, which is why, I'm still a little bit confident. But you mentioned the likes of the environment at United. They'll be happy, they'll have some upbeat mood with the likes of even the announcement of Ragnik, and looking for and trying to impress the manager before he comes in. So you just knew too that Solskjaer's last game in charge of United in the Premier League would be right before the Chelsea game. You just knew it. But I think, like you mentioned, there's areas to exploit. The likes of Harry Maguire will be out, and while I can make a bunch of jokes about him the whole day, I still think he's a key defender in that United side. Sounds like Varane, is still out. Luke Shaw, I'm pretty sure, is also still injured for United. So those are, three mainstays in the team who, especially in the defense, will be able to exploit. So I think in this game, getting into the latter stages of the podcast, I think, like I mentioned, I think Carrick will come into Stamford Bridge. He'll play for a draw. He'll play for a 0-0 draw like happened in last year's match. But I think if Chelsea come out attacking, using the likes of Reece James once again, who's probably been our best player this season, Alonso provides a very great attack and threat. You know, there's of course concerns about him going back and defending in this role, but the great thing about Jose's system is, you know, you have the likes of Antonio Rudiger behind a guy like Alonso, who's very pacey. Even though it seems like Rudiger gets up the pitch every single second and has a lot of touches into the box, which is some kind of stat, but I'm very confident in this Chelsea team going in, especially because, you know, I'd have so many errors of exploitation, you know, and they won't have their caps on the pitch and there will be some uncertainty. I think there's a crazy stat about Cristiano Ronaldo and the fact that he's only scored once against Chelsea, and that is in the Champions League final from 2008. Which is what I'm going to get into right now. There's always a segment on the podcast where I get into some fun facts of the game between the two clubs. So like I mentioned, Chelsea, unfortunately, are winless in their last seven Premier League games against Manchester United, which is crazy. We haven't scored in the last four Premier League games against Manchester United. In all competitions, United have won three of their last four away games against Chelsea. So they've been pretty good at Stamford Bridge. Not some great stats so far, but like I mentioned, Thomas Tuchel keeps on breaking down barriers of the past. I've continued to mention on the podcast. This is the fifth time we have hosted United in a Premier League game when starting the day as the league leaders. We've won three of the previous four. United are unbeaten, however, in their last Premier League away games in London, so they've been good in the capital. We have conceded just four goals in our 12 Premier League games this season, which is a crazy stat. And only our great team in 04 and 05 have shipped fewer at this stage. In the Premier League. United, as we've talked about, they've had struggles. They've lost five in their last seven Premier League games, as many as they had in their previous 42 in their competitions the past two seasons under Solskjaer. Carrick will be the first Englishman to take charge of his first ever Premier League game against Chelsea. The past 10 out of the previous 13 to do so have lost. Duncan Ferguson with Everton recently won when he was an interim manager against Everton. Lukaku has scored one goal. I mean, has scored only in one of his Premier League appearances against United. That was a hat trick back in 2013. Interestingly enough, against Sir Alex Ferguson in his final game in charge of the Red Devils. And like I mentioned, Cristiano Ronaldo has just scored one goal in 15 appearances against Chelsea, doing so in the 2008 Champions League final. The Blues are the side he's faced the most without ever scoring against in top flight football. So there sure will be some jeers coming from the Stamford Bridge fans against Cristiano Ronaldo on Sunday. I'm really looking forward to the atmosphere in this because it's going to be a nighttime kickoff, Adam, and it should be quite the energy in the bridge. I don't know if you'll be there or not, but I'm really looking forward to the game. Before we end up the podcast, Adam, what would be, you know, your preferred 11, the most realistic starting team that you're going to, that we'll probably see out there from Tuchel, and give a little bit of a quote. I always like to ask my guests to give a little prediction before we close up the show.
I mean, it's really hard, this one. Yeah. It's hard to call Tuchel selections at the best of times. And the Kante and Chilwell injuries do throw up quite a few different solutions he could turn to. I think, obviously, we know Mendy will start. My back three would probably be Chalaba, Silva and Rudiger again. Although I do feel I'm doing Cesar Azpilicueta and Andreas Christensen a disservice, given they haven't played the last two. Yeah, Reece James must start at right wing back, especially with Chilwell out. Jorginho too in midfield. I'm guessing it will be Loftus-Cheek who comes in, which I love watching Ruben. He's such fun to watch, the way he can get past people. But with him and Jorginho in midfield, there is a slight lack of mobility that you get with Kante, which may be an issue, especially with Alonso at left wing back. And it's kind of for that reason, I actually think Mason might start in the front three alongside Callum and Kai, who is fit again. I do think that Christian Pulisic is in for a shout to start, maybe in Hakim Ziyech too, but I think Pulisic, Chelsea are trying to be careful with him, and he did start in midweek, so it wouldn't be surprising if they just take him out the side again just to ensure he's not overloaded and suffers another injury, because let's face it, nobody wants that, least him. So score prediction, I'm going to be quite conservative and just say 1-0. I do think, as I said, that the injuries to Kante and Chilwell will change Chelsea's dynamic a bit. They've taken the handbrake off in recent weeks. I think they might just have to put it on a little bit again just to make sure that they're not exposed. But yeah, this is a game that, you know, look, let's not pretend otherwise. Chelsea are favourites to win it, and Chelsea fans are confident. And let's hope they get the job done.
Actually, I really like your lineup, but I think the reason, you know, of putting Mason Mount in this team sheet is because the likes of Conte and Kovacic are out, you know, and he can always drop deep or to help the midfield, especially with the likes of potentially a guy like McTominay in the midfield, a guy like Donny van de Beek, who's very mobile. So I think Mason Mount's inclusion in this team is, of course, usually vital. You know, and of course, he's had some trouble recently being 100% fit and feeling himself. But I think Tuchel will select him in a big game. And you just cannot drop Hudson-Odoi at the moment. As much as I'd love to see Pulisic out there, I think Cullum has been one of Chelsea's best players and most influential players, and how he is very direct will help us a lot in this game. I'm really liking that matchup potential. We have Hudson-Odoi versus the likes of, you know, Lindelof and Wan-Bissaka in the defense, because I think he just shared them apart. And I think, once again, he's the key to our game, because a lot of our creative chances have come from Hudson-Odoi's play. So the only position that I'm really interested to see is that striker force, because it could be Kai, it could be Timo, you know, it could be Pulisic, but it's pretty unlikely, especially with the likes of Havertz and Werner now available.
It could be Lukaku, but
it could be Lukaku. We'll see. I think Lukaku will feature some point in this game. I think it's safe to say, either off the start or off the bench. I know Tuchel probably didn't put him on. Well, first of all, last game against Juventus, because A, we didn't need him and we wanted to conserve his energy. But B, I think he was potentially thinking about giving him some minutes in this United game. He'll be very fired up to face one of his former sides. So I think, you know, I think Timo is actually going to start this game. I really do. I think he got the goal against Juventus. It's always a little bit of a cloud over Timo and how confident we are when he does get the chance, when Hudson-Odoi or Mount does create the chance for him. So we'll see if he can convert. But I don't know what Tuchel wants to put out there, because, of course, Kai's a great option, but Timo is a great asset to have, especially when you're going to have pretty slow defenders in the likes of Victor Lindelof and Bailly in defense for United. So we'll see. I think Havertz, either one of them, would provide a great attacking threat for Chelsea. But bold prediction for me, United have been terrible from set pieces recently. They have gotten hit out plenty of times by attackers. You know, I can't even call Reece James scoring a bold prediction anymore, because it happens every game. So let me think about this one for a second. I'm going to go with the Marcus Alonso goal against United. I think it's his time, and it would just be so much like him to come back into the side and score a goal, because he's got a lot of attack and threat going forward. So I think, you know what, Alonso scores in this game, and hopefully gets him some confidence, because he's going to have to be a very key part of this Chelsea team going forward into the December months, which is a whole nother season, it seems like, for Chelsea. And hopefully we can rewrite some of our past horrors from the past under Tuchel, because it's going to be interesting to see, Adam, because Tuchel has never really gone through something like December in the Premier League. You know, in Germany, they have some time off. I know in France as well. So I'm interested to see how he manages the squad. I'm really confident in him. Once again, Adam, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. This was a lot of fun today. That's a preview. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. Rook, before we end it, where can my listeners find your work for football.london?
Oh yeah, it's football.london, obviously. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Adam Newson. I think it's Adam Newson 27 on Instagram, which I'm going to improve upon actually posting stuff on. And yeah, I'm also Adam Newson on Facebook if you want to go back and do that. But I don't know how many people are on Facebook anymore, but there we go.
Mm. Well, thank you once again, Adam, for coming on the podcast. Make sure listeners, after you finish the episode, if you have made it this far, I really appreciate it. Go give Adam a follow on Twitter and read his latest article, football.london. If you missed Thomas Tuchel's press conference today, every single word that he said regarding Chilwell's injury, even Ralph Ragnick, I'm pretty sure he made a comment on. He had a really great exit on Loftus-Cheek and how he's been playing recently. So make sure to go check that article out before Sunday's match. It's a 4:30 p.m. UK, 11:30 p.m. in the States. Primetime kickoff, really looking forward to it. Chelsea, the squad, better be fired up for this one, because we haven't beaten United, and I'm sure they'll have a lot of confidence, and they'll want to beat one of our huge rivals, and they'll want to really put a hole in them when Ralf Rangnick arrives next week. So I'm really looking forward to it. As always, you guys can find us on Instagram at Lad for Matthew Harden Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at ShaneHookham13. We'll see no promises if there'll be a United recap. I'm working on it, especially because I'm going back to school next Monday. But I'm gonna try to get an episode, especially over the weekend after the Sunday match. We'll see if that happens. But and if I'm not able to, especially next week, we've got some big matches coming up. Pretty sure West Ham is in the next couple of weeks, big matchup. So I'm looking forward to preview in the December period because it's always a crazy time for Chelsea. And there's a lot of content hopefully going to be coming up in those months because I will be off school, which I'm really looking forward to. So if you're in the States, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving and celebrating with your family. And let's hope that Chelsea can beat United for the first time in 7 past Premier League games. I think we'll have a lot of confidence going to the side. And once again, I think Alonso scores a goal. I'm going to go with a 2-0 victory for Chelsea on the day. And we'll start us once again. Thank you for tuning in, Adam. It was a blast. But until next time, Chelsea fans, hopefully we can go in and get the 3 points against United. Everyone stay safe. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone in the States. Until next time, this was Adam Moose alongside Shane Holcomb and up the Chelsea.